found on page 742 of the Church Bible. Isaiah 56, verses 3-8. Let no foreigner who has bound himself to the Lord say, "The Lord will surely exclude me from his people." And let not any eunuch complain, "I am only a dry tree." For this is what the Lord says: to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me, and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name, better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will not be cut off. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord, to serve him, to love the name of the Lord, and to worship him, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. The Sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them, besides those already gathered. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is Mark 7, verses 24-30. It can be found in the Church Bibles on page 1010. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell to his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. "First, let the children eat all they want," he told her, "for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she replied, "but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." He then told her, "For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And I'm going to talk today from all the passages that we've had read. And I want to give a little bit of background first. In the Old Testament, this is number two in the series of people Jesus met. So there are six altogether. The seventh one is next Sunday, and that's a remembrance service, and I'm not talking about people Jesus met next Sunday. But today, last week you'll remember it was the woman who had long-term bleeding. Today it's the Syrophoenician woman from Mark 7 and also Matthew 15. Note the deliberate error. It's not Matthew 16, it's Matthew 15. So, a little bit of background. So, the first reading we had from Isaiah talks about the foreigner and the eunuch. Don't let the eunuch say, I'm just a dry tree, I'm not included. Don't let the foreign say, I'm not included. What Isaiah says, contrary to what perhaps some of the feelings of the Israelites up until the time of Isaiah and continuing through that time, was that the Deuteronomy tells us that eunuchs were not permitted in the assembly. And the attitude of many Israelites to foreigners, Canaanites, Samaritans, and Gentiles, was we want nothing to do with them. The command of God is to stay separate, to stay as God's separate people. Perhaps what they forgot was that the command of God was to be a light to the Gentiles, a light for the world.
come to church. Have people said that to you ever?
Yes.
Yeah.
People used to say it to me a lot. And for whatever reason, people have this idea that I'm not good enough or I'm not welcome in church. And I'm sure it happens here too. People feel that we're perhaps judgmental or that we don't want people who are perhaps a little bit on the edge. There is this sense that I'm not necessarily welcome, and that today's message is really all about actually everyone is welcome. Everyone is welcome. So do you remember we way back at earlier in the service we read some of Psalm 87, and it's a beautiful psalm. It has those lovely words, the glorious things of you are spoken, Zion, city of our God. But the thing that really grabs me is those little phrases, this one and that one were born in Zion. This one and that one were born in Zion. Rahab is included. Rahab, that's Egypt. Mm-hmm. And so many of these people in the psalm, the psalmist writes that God is going to write in the register of the peoples, this one was born in Zion. And that's so clearly inclusive, not just of the Israelites, but the foreigner too. I love that psalm. So Jesus has gone off with his disciples to Tyre, which is Canaanite country, it's Gentile country, and so as Jeremy said earlier, this is pretty much out of what you'd expect Jesus to be doing. Out of what the people of the time would expect God to be doing. Jesus is really Messiah. He's come to help Israel. He's not come to help the Gentiles. He's not come to, despite some of the prophecies that we know of. So Jesus has gone to Tyre up there on the coast. You can see.
And in Phoenicia. And I don't know why he's gone. We're not told, but it may be that he wants the disciples, his followers, to have a little bit of time with him, just to process some stuff, to think about what's been going on. But as always, when a vacation with Jesus is never going to be dull, is it? So maybe they've gone for a bit of a holiday. Maybe they've gone for some rest and relaxation. I don't know why, but they're there. And this woman comes, and she demands that Jesus deals with her. And when we in Matthew, when we read the story in Matthew 15, it's the disciples come to Jesus and say, send her away. And they say, in pretty much in no uncertain terms, we don't want her here, get rid of her. So they're asking Jesus to get rid of her. And what does Jesus do? Jesus speaks with her. And as Jeremy said, that pretty much a no-no. Jesus speaks with her, he engages with her, but he says this shocking line, and a lot of people find this totally shocking, that Jesus says, I've come for the lost sheep of Israel, and it's not fair for the dogs to eat the food that's for the children. So how rude is that? Well, it's rude to our ears. I don't know whether it's rude to first century Canaanite ears, but it sounds pretty rude to me. And in Matthew's gospel, we read the woman doesn't just take it. She says, yes, it is, Lord. She says, actually, it is okay. I want some of this, please. Is it all right for me to come to church? And Jesus says, and then you know the rest of the story. She says, yes, it is, Lord. Even the dogs eat the crumbs from under the table. And Jesus says, good on you, woman. That's what a great answer. She knows. She's saying, I want some of what you're here for. She knows that God's kingdom is breaking through. She, like the woman who was bleeding, she knows who Jesus is. She's heard. But not only has she heard, she has the faith to believe that he is the one who can sort her out. Israel, what's Israel for? Well, from Isaiah, I've called you in righteousness. He's speaking to Israel. I'll make you a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles. That's what Israel is for. And Israel seems to have lost its way, seems to have forgotten what its mission is. But let's remember, this one and that one were born in Zion. Is it all right for me to come to church? So I want to think for the church here, for our church. We come from Malmesbury in Wiltshire in the UK, a bit west of bit east of Bristol, a bit west of Swindon. And I don't know who your dogs are. I can imagine for Malmesbury Abbey who our dogs might be. I look at our congregation in Malmesbury Abbey and I think, where are all the people with tattoos? Where are the people with alternate lifestyles? Where are the same-sex attracted people? Where are the transgender people? Where are the people from a different background? Where's anyone under 50? We're a very homogenous group of people. And clearly, we are succeeding in excluding people. And that's not deliberate, because I don't think anyone wants to exclude people deliberately. I mean, haven't we heard some wonderful stories today of people who've been included, like Anna, and other people? I can't remember everyone else's names, but isn't it lovely the way people have been invited in and included and welcomed? So, I'm not really following my notes here at all. So for this church here, I don't know. Of course I don't know. I've been here, 10 days? 9 days? I don't know. So it's kind of, I would say, how are we going to include people? That's something for you guys to think about. Sorry. We'll think about it on Wednesday, perhaps a little bit more, and we'll have a little bit of a discussion in the Bible study. But what is it that we can do to widen the gates, to widen the doors, so that everyone knows that they're welcome? It's just so hard to walk into a church building. For many people to come to a service like this, it's just a total culture shock. So, I know that Malmesbury Abbey, back in the UK, and I know that here, Holy Trinity, we think of ourselves as friendly and welcoming. But it's about the way we do things. I mean, if we think about literacy, that I don't know how it is over here, but in the UK, I think only about 80% of people are really fully literate. And many, many people don't learn through words. They learn through different styles of learning. I know that our services in Malmesbury are all about words. It's words, 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 words. And for people who don't learn that way, who can't read so well, how is that not exclusive? So it bugs me. I don't know what the answers are. I'm a retired vicar. I have no authority, no say. I can do is pray and prod occasionally. Why do people ask if it's all right to come to church? I believe we're called to be salt and light, as Jesus said. And our privilege and our responsibility is to introduce people. Introduce people to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who loves each one of us. The one who went to the cross to bear our sins, to make it possible for us to be back together with God. I don't know whether you've seen this before. For many churches, it's okay if you behave, you can come, and then you might believe, and then you can belong. But I believe that the churches, we just need to have it completely the other way around. We need to be places where people can be whoever they are. We need to be places where people can belong, no matter what they are, who they are, what they're wearing, what their lifestyle is. Places where people can belong. And then when people have found a community that loves them, when people have found a community of belief, then they might begin to believe what, as Richard said, he found people who believed and he was welcomed in. And then his belief grew. And then as we find somewhere to belong, as we find our belief, then our behavior might change, or we might figure out what it's about that, I think Richard, I'm sorry Richard, I'm quoting from you. He felt the filth and stuff wash away from him. When we meet Jesus, our lifestyle changes. But we don't need people to change their lifestyle in order to meet Jesus. It must be the other way around. We mustn't put things in people's way. Is it all right for me to come to church? I want to tell you one story. There's a lady called Sarah Miles who wrote a book called Take This Bread. Has anyone read that? Anyone come across the book, Take This Bread? Sarah Miles was an atheist journalist lesbian who hated church. She'd been brought up in a Christian family and ran as far away as she could. She spent a lot of time as a journalist in Central America, very left-wing. And one day in San Francisco, where she was living, she, for reasons that she doesn't understand, she went into a church where they were celebrating communion. It was a simple community. She went in, she was welcomed, she was included. They gave her bread and wine. And the phrase that she used in that book was, "Jesus, as I took the bread and wine, Jesus exploded in my mouth." She became a Christian. Dramatic change. And what she did was she started the whole food bank business in the States, starting from San Francisco. I believe it was her who began feeding the poor. Take This Bread, the book is called. It's a wonderful book. It's a hard read. I want to finish with that. We need to be radically inclusive as God's people, including people like that Greek Syrophoenician woman who shouldn't have been allowed according to the rules. But Jesus welcomed her. Let's finish with a prayer. Lord God, thank you for the challenge that you throw out to us, and we pray that you would help us to respond as you call us. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Jeremy.